reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay, so we're going to put 10 minutes on the clock for you. And you can, I'm not going to police him if you go into his time. I will tell you when your time is up.
May it please the court. If I may, I would like to note the presence in the courtroom today of the chairman, members of the tribal council, other members of the Nevis and Pine Tribe of Arizona. Canyon Uranium Mine is situated in the midst of what is not only the most sacred site in the cultural landscape of the Nevis and Pine people, hard by the towering topographical landmark known as Red Butte, in flat and square in the middle of the small meadow just located to the north of the butte, known in the Havasupai language as Mafta to the Tichita. The question presented in this case, the appeal of the Havasupai tribe, is whether the United States Forest Service violated Section 106 of the National Historic Preservation Act in making the determination that EFR, or its predecessor, I'll refer to all of them as EFR, could recommence development of the Canyon Mine after a 20-year hiatus in activity without conducting any bona fide consultation under Section 106 of the NHPA to develop a memorandum of agreement on measures to avoid, minimize, or mitigate what would certainly be the adverse impacts, the serious adverse impacts of the Canyon Mine on the Red Butte traditional cultural property, including the meadow, the Mufto Tichita. When EFR notified the Forest Service in August of 2011 that it intended to recommence mining operations of the Canyon Mine, the Forest Service had the authority at that time to make any modifications it felt were needed in the plan of operations that had been approved in 1986 in order to address previously unaddressed impacts of the mine on historic properties. It also...
Now, is the government contesting that, i.e., whether it had authority to make changes or whether the fact that the plan of operation had already been approved under the standards available at that time and you didn't have the authority?
Judge Prism, the government, clearly the plan of operations had been approved in 1986. The government has not contested the fact that the Forest Service had the authority to make changes. In fact, that's set forth in the Forest Service's own regulations at 36 CFR 228.4E. And the existence of that power was expressly noted in the record of decision approving the Canyon Mine kind of operations in 1986 on page 9. And the reference appears in a paragraph dealing with a groundwater modeling monitoring, but it clearly references that power does exist in the Forest Service if needed to address previously unaddressed impacts of the mine. Those facts alone.
And they did address the impacts earlier, even though it wasn't as strongly projected at the time.
No. The Forest Service admitted in the Canyon Mine Review that was issued in 2012 that the adverse impacts under NHPA to the Canyon Mine TCP had never been examined previously. That is, I can quote from the Canyon Mine Review. It appears in the excerpts of record.
So let me ask you a point, Mike. You know, we had a successful plan of operation. We went through the entire process in 1988. I don't believe it was given at that time. So based on what's going on, that should be able to do over as to what happened back in 1988.
Precisely, Your Honor, the fact that in 2010 the Forest Service acknowledged that Red Butte and the surrounding area, including the site of the Canyon Mine itself, constituted a traditional cultural property eligible for listing in the National Register and therefore protected by the National Historic Preservation Act. That had not happened. That was not true in 1986. What was different in 2011 is that given the fact that Red Butte had been designated a TCP.
Let's talk about the designation itself. You see, trees all of this would be
Yes, Your Honor, because that then triggers the obligation of the Forest Service to conduct consultation with the tribes under Section 106 of the NHPA, and that consultation
render all previous Section 106 consultations and division on all undertakings.
No, Your Honor. But the Section 106 consultation that occurred in the 1980s was an archaeological survey of the mine site, which uncovered three inconsequential archaeological sites in all 6 years.
What's the specific, I guess, undertaking that you argue triggered Section 106? In this case, the determination about existing rights, the mineral report, or the review of the existing plan of operations and analysis offered in the mine review?
Well, first of all, a matter of terminology, the undertaking in our view is the recommencement of mining operations at Canyon Mine. Undertaking is defined in the NHPA as an action that requires federal license, permit, or approval. We contend in this instance it was very clear, it was understood by all parties, that until the EER determination, the valid existing rights determination had been accomplished, EFR could not proceed with restarting operations of the mine. So we believe that that was a federal approval that made this recommencement of operations. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
The undertaking question and the question of whether there was a final action or a major final action or whatever are the same complex questions, essentially.
You know, Your Honor, I think they are very comparable, but it's interesting the district court treated them very differently. In looking at whether the VER determination was a major federal act or final agency action, he said, well, I don't think it's legally required, but it clearly has practical consequences, and when all parties understood that the EFR could not continue until the VDO determination was done. But then when he looked at the question of whether it was an undertaking, he said, well, that requires a federal license, permit, or approval. It's not legally required, therefore, it's not an undertaking. And he never gave any consideration to the clear practical effect that EFR could not start until this VDO determination had been completed and established. No, Your Honor, the plan of operations was approved, strictly deals with the mining operation there in the meadow itself. It has nothing to do with the impacts of the mine on the surrounding area. Certainly, absolutely nothing to do with the impacts on the Tennessee Preservation of the East. The record of decision, as I said, does reserve to the Forest Service the ability to make changes in the plan of operations if unanticipated effects arise. And that is why we contend that in addition to the fact that the EER determination.
Now or 3-6?
I'm sorry?
The record of decision. The recent record
there
of decision.
There was only one record of decision in 1986.
Just one at a time.
No, they made no further record of decision.
The Forest Service had the right to make changes to the plan of operation.
To deal with.
Sufficient in interest of concerns is dealing with these whole other issues.
But they said, when they considered the recommencement of operations, they said, we are not making any changes in the plan of operations. They made that very clear to all the tribes, in fact. And the point is that at that point, the Forest Service, even if you don't agree that this was a new undertaking under the statute, the Forest Service had a clear continuing obligation under an NHPA at every juncture at which it has the authority to change the project to deal with adverse impacts to newly recognized historic properties. And it had that power. It was obliged at that point.
Why the obvious
we would have no claim, Your Honor. It's not protected by the NHPA. Exactly. And that occurred in
2000. Consultation that they did.
Your Honor, it's a joke. It was a total sham. They didn't comply. comply with a single provision of the section of the regulations that they claim was applicable here. They said that we gave notice within 48 hours of deciding to disapply. That was 10 months after they learned that BFR wanted to commence operations on
this.
Either that it was a new undertaking or that the continuing obligation which this court recognized and approved in Apache Survival Coalition versus the United States in 1994, the continuing obligation of the agency to comply with an HPA whenever it has the opportunity to make changes to deal with impacts that have not previously been addressed. That continuing obligation plainly was triggered here, and the district court did not address that at all.
It's important. I mean, so I want to understand why you think it was undertaking.
Your Honor, the definition of undertaking is what we rely upon. An action that requires a federal license, permit, or approval, we believe that given, and the record is very clear, everybody understood that until the VDR determination was done, BFR could not continue. The Forest Service said that over and over.
If one assumes that, what it was investigating was whether an earlier set of events were sufficient to constitute a permanent license or approval, or whether they needed a new one. And so that what they ultimately decided was, we don't need a permanent license or approval because there already was one.
No, the Forest Service repeatedly said, and said it in the mineral examination report itself, that we will not allow mineral activities to occur in a withdrawn area unless valid existing rights are established. They were not established prior to the doing of the mineral report.
They were established. The question is whether they were regulations having been established.
Well,
that's what
there's this metaphysical concept in the mining law that a miner has valid rights unless they're disproved. The Forest Service took a very different view of the situation where mining is going to occur in a withdrawn area. And it said repeatedly, and there is a Forest Service policy that says this in black and white, that in a withdrawn area, mineral activities, not plans of operation, mineral activities may not occur unless valid existing rights have been established.
The BLM says, well, they might have said that, but they're wrong.
Well, BLM has different policies, but the Forest Service does have the authority, and this court has upheld it on several occasions. The Forest Service does have the right, the power, to regulate mining activities to the extent they have impacts on surface resources. And you upheld that in Carrick Tribe and Kid River Tribe, and clearly that was the situation here. The Forest Service had the obligation to take steps to deal with the impacts of this mine on the refugees. Okay, my time is all gone. I would like to let Mr. Thank you.
You're going to have 2 minutes to rebuttal. You'll have your 2 minutes, and that's all the time there is. May it please the Court, Neil Levine on behalf of the conservation groups and the consolidated case. I, too, would like to reserve 2 minutes of my time if I can.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll do my best to understand. The plaintiffs in this case challenge the valid existing rights determination, which we've talked about. That's the agency action that authorized mining on the public lands that had been withdrawn from the mining law in 2012. I'd like to hit on two issues today. The first one being that we satisfy the zone of interest test to challenge the substance of the validity determination. And the second being that because the validity determination was required to authorize mining on withdrawn lands, this was a major federal action. It was an approval of activities that required NEPA compliance.
I think this language on the Ninth Circuit's decision in CBD, which seems to suggest to me that they do not have to do any of this, that they absolutely have the right to continue mining.
Yes, Your Honor. There's two key points. One is, at the time of the case you're referencing, there was no withdrawal. The lands were not withdrawn at that time, and so there was no need for a validity determination at that time. The second is that we have a different claim.
No need for a validity determination, but there was a need for a valid plan before they could actually mine.
Correct. the issue was different than what we have in our case. That case involved a supplemental NEPA claim, and we have a new action requiring a new major, which is a new major federal action. The new action here is the validity determination in 2012. There's no doubt the difference is that whether you have a mining claim answers the question whether you can mine. Whether you have a plan of operations determines how you can mine.
There was a validity determination back in 1989.
There was no validity determination in 1989. That's in the record. There's nothing. In fact, that is why the Forest Service undertook the validity determination in 2012, because they knew they had no evidence to show that there were valid existing rights on those claims.
So the statute says that there are valid, that there are existing rights and statutory authorization for that. Why do they have to consider this now? I don't understand. It's not a question about whether they're valid existing rights.
Well, because the world changed in 2012, when the lands that were subject to the mining law were withdrawn by the secretary. And so that meant two things. One is that no new claims.
Existing rights.
I'm sorry?
Subject to valid existing rights.
Correct, but.
And if the original withdrawal mentioned this mine is one in which there were valid existing rights?
No, Your Honor. A careful read, and I don't even mean that careful, a read of the NEPA document and the ROD that was associated with withdrawal anticipated that there may be valid existing rights there, and so for the purposes of analyzing the impacts of the withdrawal, they assumed. But if you look at the documents that we cited referencing Appendix B of the EIS, they made clear that even though there was an assumption.
All right, let's get to the bottom of that. We are ultimately talking about what the need for additional NEPA inquiry or what?
Yes, Your Honor, those are two things.
So if you get to the bottom, and if this is, even if it was necessary, once the decision was made, it wasn't discretionary. In other words, there was nothing the government had to, when it was investigating whether something could happen 20 years ago, was binding on it, and it ultimately decided that it was. So what was the point of a NEPA report?
Well, first off, the Independence Mining case, which is cited in the record in our briefs, says just the opposite, that the validity determination by the government is a judgment with ample discretion. And so the idea that the validity determination is not a discretionary action is not.
It wasn't really a validity determination. My understanding of what it was a determination about whether 25 years ago it was a valid claim and which is now binding on it.
No, Your Honor, the test for validity is determined at the time of the withdrawal. This is, again, also in the record of decision for the withdrawal. It says,
existing claims.
So you can.
There are existing claims.
No, Your Honor. The test.
That is what the statute says, no?
The test asks if you have valid existing claims at the time of the withdrawal, not at the time when you have a plan of operation.
But existing is a retroactive notion.
Well, as the way the law is, however, it's notwithstanding that term existing, the question is asked by the government, do you have valid existing rights at the time of the withdrawal? And so in this case, they're looking, and if you look at the valid existing rights determination here, that document says that they had valid existing rights at the time of the January 2012 withdrawal.
What direct environmental impact flows from finding a mining claim is valid?
All the impacts are flowing. But more.
How? I mean, what direct environmental impact flows from determining that a mining claim is valid? Which that's what they were doing here.
Yes, Your Honor.
So, looking at the procedures and everything, I'm trying to figure out the environmental impact from that.
If the.
That would require what you're asking for.
If the mining claim lacks validity, mining cannot go forward under the withdrawal because, as has been noted, it is subject to valid existing rights. As long as you have valid existing rights, you can go forward. But the converse is true, too. If you lack valid existing rights, and the Forest Service cannot make that determination based upon the the record or the profitability determination that mining cannot go forward on these withdrawn lands. That's the entire purpose of the withdrawal. It says no new claims. Existing claims can go forward, provided the Forest Service or the BLM makes the determination that the claims are valid at the time of the withdrawal, not back in the 1980s, and putting aside the fact they never made that determination there. But the key point is that absent the validity determination, mining cannot go forward. And the Clouser versus SBK says this, the Jelka versus Babbitt case says this, that when you have a withdrawn area, you need at that time to show valid existing rights. And the determination has to be made by the federal government. It's not something that is just presumed or can be unilaterally decided by the company. It's the agencies that have to make that determination. And when it was asked at that time,
your next statutory scheme, you find that the Forest Service is charged by the law with making that determination.
The record shows that in terms of projects that occur on Forest Service land, the Forest Service has been delegated that authority to make valid existing rights determinations. When it's on BLM lands, then the BLM has that authority to do so.
You said something earlier about the independence of IPs as being pertinent here. What's pertinent about
it? It demonstrates that the validity determination is a discretionary decision by the agency.
Discretionary decision, I don't understand.
Because the analysis that goes in terms of the cost benefits include what are appropriate environmental, among other things, but what are the appropriate environmental compliance costs? What are reclamation costs? These are all costs that get factored into the profitability determination.
I guess I want to ask my question because I don't understand. I want to make sure I understand. This is whether a mining claim is valid. I think requires establishing that a valuable deposit of uranium exists and can be profitably extracted. This doesn't seem to be an inquiry that implicates environmental interests. So, again, how does the direct environmental impact flow from this mining claim and whether it's valid?
Well, I think if you look at, again, the Independence Mining case, the BLM handbook on validity determination, all these acknowledge that environmental costs are factored into the profitability determination, so that if the Forest Service, for example, decided that California condors have now been introduced and they are threatened by an open wastewater pit, they can impose mitigation measures through to protect the condor from that activity. And those costs of doing so are factored back in to the profitability determination. And some, of course, have said this.
Your best authority, I guess, that supports challenging a mining rights determination based on non-economic interests.
Well, there's a District of Nevada case that you cite, the Barrick-Goldstone case, I believe it's called. And that was a case where the agency was considering whether or not to impose measures to protect fish under the Endangered Species Act. And the court acknowledged that that is an exercise of agency discretion that factors back into the analysis of validity determination.
So what if the mine continued to have been operating from 1988 to the present date? You tell me that the Forest Service has the power to say you can no longer operate the mine because we are now going to make a determination that you do not have any existing rights to such a decision.
Well, of course, that's kind of what happened here. The Forest Service said to the agency, you cannot resume mining, because in this case they had stopped mining for years and years. But the reality here was the Forest Service did say, no, you cannot mine at this site until we finish the validity determination. And once that happened, they were allowed to go forward. In the scenario Your Honor points out, the analysis would have to occur, and the Forest Service has the discretion at that point to say, you know what, you have to stop mining under your forest plan, under the plan of operations until we complete
this whole trigger by the withdrawal of the lands, right?
Correct. And this is not, this is an unusual situation because this is a land withdrawal of 1 million acres, and this is the only mine that's subject, that's sort of in this situation. There's no other mines with a pre-approved plan of operation. I see that my time is up. I'd
say,
if I may, come back.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Tekla Hansen-Yang, and I represent the Forest Service. The Forest Service here did everything it could within its limited authority to make sure that when Energy Fuels notified it that it planned to resume operations under the 1988 plan, that the mining operations were consistent with current environmental laws, that the environmental impact statement that had been done on the 1988 plan of operations was still valid, and that there was no need to amend the plan of operations under its regulations. The Forest Service concluded that in the mine review, that there was no unforeseen significant disturbance of land that would warrant changing the plan of operations, and neither of the plaintiffs has challenged the sufficiency of the mine review in this case.
The Forest Service obligated to conduct this mine review?
No, it was not. The plaintiffs have pointed to no statute, no regulation, and not even the withdrawal language itself, that states that for plans that were previously approved before withdrawal, the Forest Service had to do either a mineral report, a mineral exam, which verified valid existing rights in the Forest Service's belief, or a mine review, or, for that matter, new NHPA consultation. What the Forest Service did was take a thorough look at its obligations.
But does provide for the need to take for some continuing obligation.
In certain circumstances, yes, but not here, because here the final agency action that authorized mining was the 1988 plan of operations, and that has been clearly established by this court in the CP versus Salazar case involving the Arizona 1 mine, which had a previously approved plan of operations in 1988. The mining company there wanted to resume operations after it was in standby status for about 20 years, and these same plaintiffs, along with others, challenged the BLM's decision in that case, which actually was quite similar to what the Forest Service here did. It looked at what it needed to do, if anything, to make sure the plan of operations was still valid.
Oh, yes, part of the agency actions here is the existing rights determination, which perhaps your argument is not really a final agency action. The district would treat it in the company's path of the matter. Then you have the EIS determination that could be a final agency.
Neither of those are final agency actions, and let me just briefly explain what a mineral report does. It is, we have a lot of citations and explanation in our brief, but just briefly here, the Forest Service does not have authority to implement or administer the mining laws. That is within the jurisdiction of the Department of the Interior and the Bureau of Land Management.
Was there a fact delegation, as we were just talking before?
For mineral reports or mineral exams only, the Forest Service can do those with the agreement of BLM, but the mineral report is only used as evidence in claim contests or contests of validity of mining claims. So if somebody feels like the mining claim is not valid,
here, the Forest Service orders to be done here now.
The Forest Service did not order, I mean, there was no order per se. The Forest Service decided to do a mineral exam here to assure itself that there were valid existing rights.
And here, the mineral report, it seems, satisfies in a practical sense because it immediately affected the parties by allowing the Energy Fuels to proceed with confidence in the validity of its claims. So,
I have 2 points in response to that. First of all, that's not strictly true. The mineral report was finished several months before the Forest Service completed its mine review in 2012, and after the mine review concluded, Energy Fuels and the second point is that
it's the mine review. There's three terms kind of go back and forth about what is that either they're arguing or you're saying is or isn't a final action or a major federal action. Is it the mine review or the mineral report or both? What is it?
At it is our understanding that the plaintiffs here have challenged the mineral report only, which is the Forest Service's expert opinion as to whether there are valid existing rights. Neither the plaintiffs...
This one, it was a determination as to whether a change had to be made in the operating plans.
It was a determination, it was a rendering of the Forest Service's expert's opinion as to whether the mining claims constituted a valuable mineral discovery.
That's the mine review.
That's the mineral report, or the valid existing rights determination. Or the mine review, my apologies. The mine review was the Forest Service's examination of its existing environmental documents, its NHPA compliance previously, to determine whether the plan of operations needed to be amended.
It indicated that no changes would occur to the canyon mine.
That's correct.
The plan of operations. But it also set the level of consultation the Forest Service would engage in with the tribe. Is that correct?
The Forest Service...
Or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It seems like that decision had an immediate impact on the parties. That's probably more than sufficient to me.
I apologize for not mentioning that sooner. I will be reserving 6 minutes for my...
having 4 minutes because we can't win. Put 10 minutes on this clock and then put 20 minutes on. Is that right?
My answer to your question is that the practical effect doesn't matter under the Supreme Court's test for final agency action in Bennett because there has to be
the National Desert Association.
Sure.
That was the focus.
This court has held that the final agency action requirement can be construed pragmatically, but it never said that there could only be practical effects. And simply because the Forest Service and Energy Fuels came to an agreement that Energy Fuels would not resume operations until the agency...
But the Forest Service certainly weren't resuming.
That's fair.
And this wasn't necessary.
That is fair, but that does not make it so.
Clue that the people who were making this decision thought it was so. But don't mean that it was so.
Well, if you look, actually, there are contemporaneous documents cited in our brief that discuss the fact that Energy Fuels was voluntarily refraining from resuming operations. But
so it seems like that. I just want to back up a little bit. It seems like the sole dispute here on appeal is whether the mine review was an undertaking. This is my reading within the meaning of the NHPA.
Well, that's also, that I wouldn't say that that's the sole dispute. There's also a dispute. We argue that the mine review, well, the plaintiffs have not challenged the mine review, just stepping back. It's the mineral report, the mineral exam, about the validity of the mining claims. We are contesting, one of the issues on appeal is whether the mineral report constituted an undertaking or a major, under the NHPA, or an undertaking, a major federal undertaking under NEPA that would trigger NEPA analysis. Yes. I'm glad you asked that question. This is post-administrative. Well, the Forest Service is taking its obligation seriously. I started out by saying that, and that is true. Just so the court knows, this forest, for example, has a dedicated tribal liaison officer. That's not typical for forests, and that position was created. What are the legal responsibilities, or what is good government? Yes. The Forest Service here was not legally required to take any, to do anything before Energy Fuels could resume operations.
I'm sorry, my understanding with regard to the National Historical Preservation Act is that it treat the National Historical designation as something under the AHP.
That's correct. So the agency did decide to treat the Red Butte traditional cultural property as a newly discovered property under the NHPA.
Of course it wasn't.
The forest acknowledged that the regulations were not really a good fit, but that 813b3, the language which says once a plan has been completed, consultation has been done on the plan, and then construction has started, which all were true here, then the forest should proceed under 813b3, which it did, and it continues to do. And
construction was started, but it was also stopped.
That's true, but the regulations don't speak to that as being a requirement. I would also add that if you look at
the Forest Service has taken the view that what it means is a continuing construction, and when there's no longer a continuing construction, we look at the situation as of the time that it's starting, I mean, after this 20-year gap, it seems to me that the Forest Service could have. The question is whether it had to.
Well, Energy Fuels had built all of the surface structures by that point and had dug the mine shaft to 50 feet. So there was substantial construction that had been completed. That's true. But I'd also like the court to think about what new NHPA consultation would do, what new, starting from scratch, NHPA consultation would look like for a mineral report. What kinds of alternatives, what kind of scoping could be done, and how would it look any differently? I mean, one thing that's important for this court to think about here is the fact that the tribe and the environmental groups have not identified anything that they would like the Forest Service to do as a concrete matter.
That they're not challenging the environment.
That's correct. They're
where it is where they're going to play.
I mean, it potentially, I mean, then we'd have a different discussion here.
If they were challenging the mine review, what would your response be?
I hesitate to speculate since I haven't had to brief that issue, but I would probably say the same thing, that it was foreclosed by this court's decision in CBD versus Salazar in the Arizona 1 case. I would like the court to note, I think this is an important few pages, that SCR 1115-17, that documents since 2007 what the Forest Service has done as far as consultation with the tribe and other tribes. And I would also like to say this information is not in the administrative record. It has to do with the status of the mine, but it's important for the court to know. The Forest Service has completed its consultation in December 2015. It is on the Forest Service's website. I'm sorry, what? With the plaintiff tribe here, the Forest Service has determined that it has completed its consultation under 813b3 and has decided to continue consulting under the record of decision with the tribe. Also, I would like the court to know that the federal government. I'm sorry, go on.
I'm confused here. You're saying you had no obligation to consult.
I'm sorry, I was not 100% clear when I spoke earlier. The Forest Service did not have an obligation to do a mine review or a mineral report. The Forest Service did decide that it had an obligation under 813b3 to consult on the impacts of Red Butte, of the traditional Red Butte traditional cultural property. It did so and has completed that consultation. And it's
confused. If it wasn't an undertaking, it would anyway.
There was no new.
Would be different from consultation. What is the tribe claiming?
The tribe, there's a dispute as to what the relevant undertaking here is. The tribe is arguing that the undertaking is the resumption of mining operations. The Forest Service's position is that the undertaking was the approval of the 1988 plan of operations. And just like how you have a supplemental environmental impact statement under NEPA, under the NHPA regulations 813b3, the Forest Service can reinitiate consultation once it has approved a plan, and that's what it did here.
Well, the environmental impact statement was the final agency action, was it not under the NHPA?
The 1988 plan of operations and record of decision with its supporting environmental impact statement constituted the final agency action. That's correct. And again, as I had said, the Forest Service looked at its EIS and decided that it didn't need to do anything different with the plan of operations here in the mine review. Okay, thank you.
May it please the Court, my name is David DiPippo and I represent Energy Fuels. I'll just jump right back in where we were here with 813B3. I think a little bit of clarification is important. The 813B regulation falls under the post-review discoveries portion of the Section 106 regulations. What the Advisory Council did in that section is said, we know that the NHPA requires ongoing consultation. We need to draw a line as to what type and how much of consultation will occur when we have a discovery of a new historic property after a project has been approved. I would agree with you that the discovery is a misnomer, but I think I certainly would disagree with the tribe when you say if there's no discovery of a new historic property, then that is the end of the matter. It's not that you go back and try and create brand new consultation under Section 106 for a discovery that never existed in the first place. But the point I was trying to make is that the line that the Advisory Council drew between commencement of construction for activities that commence construction fall under B3 and those that don't is an important one because it represents a balance between historic preservation and the ability of an approved project to rely on its approval, start construction, and continue. And it's an issue that's been sort of, it's been misconstrued in the briefing, and I think it's an important point to represent.
So anyway, the fact that there was a cessation of construction for 20 years is of no significance. What if it was 50 years? What if it was 100 years?
It's all of no significance. The regulations are 100% clear in their face and unambiguous. Starting and stopping of a project is not a factor in determining what regulation is going to apply, whether it's going to be B1 or B3.
What type of federal oversight is there when we're dealing with this type of dynamic? Is it year 3, the continuation of body that is number 20 years, the withdrawal and the designation of an historical site? You see, there's no federal oversight.
In which respect, Your Honor? Well, what I would say is, and it sort of gets to a point that was made earlier, that the idea that mining rights are somehow metaphysical, they are 100% not metaphysical. Once the miner meets the requirements of the mining law and establishes mining rights, which Energy Fuels did no later than 1985, it had property rights in public land. In 1986, its plan of operations was approved. It was fully.
But here, then there was a withdrawal. The withdrawal was contingent on existing rights. And it seems sensible to say that at that point there was a necessary determination as to who had the existing rights. It wasn't here. So there was something in it. Triggered a need for an additional determination, which was the withdrawal.
I disagree, Your Honor. I think there's nothing, as Judge Campbell held, plaintiffs have pointed to, no statute, no law, no guidance document, no case.
Forest Service thought so.
Whether the Forest Service determined to exercise this discretion.
It didn't say that. It said it's necessary.
Well, and I think, you know, and I'll point the court to a letter that. Two points on that. There's a letter that Forest Supervisor Williams sent to Energy Fuels saying that it was necessary to conduct a mineral exam in order to approve a new plan. That's what the letter says. But the problem with that is Forest Service wasn't approving a new plan in this circumstance. There was, as we've all discussed, there was an existing plan that had been in place for quite some time and it was valid.
Yes, what I'm afraid of is how does one determine and when does one determine whether there indeed are existing plans? Here's the determination apparently was made before the Forest
there doesn't need to be a determination, Your Honor, and here's why. The mining law is different than our current laws. The mining law is a law that allows for the disposal of federal property based on the unilateral acts of a miner. And if you locate and if you discover when those two things have coincidence, then mining rights spring. And how you know that's true and how you know there doesn't need to be a government approval is the Supreme Court has stated repeatedly that those rights are valid until proven invalid by BLM or Interior in a claim contest.
Why did your client agree to abide by the Forest Service determination as to whether there were existing rights?
A couple of reasons. They are both business related, Your Honor. Our client wants good relationships with their regulators, cooperates with their regulators. If you look at the letter that was sent from Harold Roberts to the Forest Supervisor on September 11th of 2011, it says we have determined we don't need any more approvals. We are willing to cooperate with you to make sure that you confirm our conclusions and go through your own analyses. The second is that, and this is also in the record, that at that particular point in time, Energy Fuels wasn't quite ready to start shaft sinking. It was already conducting preparatory operations on the ground. It simply accommodated the Forest Service and cooperated with the Forest Service to hold off on shaft sinking so that the Forest Service could conduct its operations.
Your client, if the Forest Service came to a different conclusion that there were no existing rights here, would that be
initiated a claim contest or? Well, the Forest Service would have had to refer it to BLM. BLM would review it and then file an action with Interior and assert that the claims were invalid.
And that you could challenge the determination by the Bureau of Mines at that time within the Interior Department.
Correct.
You could not do it in the context of the determination by the Forest Service.
It's not a final agency action. I don't even know. I think that if you look at even the Supreme Court's most recent statement in Hawks, where it basically compares a preliminary jurisdictional determination under the Clean Water Act for the Army Corps with an approved jurisdictional determination, it outlines the differences between something that is preliminary, interim, something that doesn't bind, something that doesn't compel, doesn't decide legal rights, with an approved determination that does, something that compels action, and that has consequences if you don't comply. Thank you, Your Honor.
First of all, as Young said, they're citing the Arizona Wine case. There's no NHPA issue in that case. I was very surprised to hear her say that Forest Service is determined that it's completed consultation under Section 813B3. That regulation requires that the Forest Supervisor make a determination as to measure, but unilaterally make a determination as to measures to avoid, minimize, or mitigate adverse impacts of climate. No such decision has been made. It also requires a report to the tribes, to the ACHP, and to the Arizona SHPO as to what measures have been imposed. No such report has ever been delivered. It suggests that this whole reference to 813B3 is a sham.
What was the undertaking? I asked this before, but I got a different answer here than what I thought I was going to
get. Your Honor, the structure of the statute is very clear. The undertaking is the thing that can affect the historic property.
I'm going to ask you this. Are you saying it's the mine?
It's the resumption of mining activity at Canyon Mine in this instance.
Okay. But did that require approval?
Yes.
How?
The Forest Service told the FR, until you establish valid existing rights at this mine site, you cannot go forward.
So then you're challenging the mine review or the mineral review?
No, we are challenging. We are.
Because
it's the existence of the power. It doesn't matter what they do. It's the existence of the power that gives them the authority to change the plan of operations.
We're looking at the statute because it seems like it's critical to understand what the undertaking is. The undertaking is what requires everything that you're talking about. And the statute says an undertaking means a project, activity, or program funded in whole or in part under the direct or indirect jurisdiction of a federal agency, including those requiring a federal permit, license, or approval.
Right.
And so it seems like approval of the Canyon Mine plan of operations was in the 80s. It was the undertaking requiring an HBA Section 106 consultation.
That's right. But at that time, Red Butte was not a productive property.
No, I understand.
In 2011, things had changed. The company came back. The Forest Service said, you need a new approval. We need to establish valid existing rights. Consequently, the obligations, the Forest Service's obligations under an HBA sprang back into life.
But the mine review or the mineral report didn't approve any new undertaking in 2012 or modify the plan of operations.
That was their ultimate conclusion. But they had the power to modify the plan of operations under their regulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just want to reiterate the point that this is the validity determination was the second authorization. And the Forest Service, citing its own manual, said that we have to issue the second determination before mining can resume. And they cited
the district court found with respect to your ability to challenge the mining determination
that was interested in the problem. Yes, Your Honor. The district court's ruling is that under the mining law, our interests were not protected.
He didn't have any economic interest.
We didn't have any economic interest. Pardon me?
I see you have economic
interest. Yeah. The question there is different. The question for this challenging this validity determination is that this validity determination was not issued pursuant to the mining law or as a result of the mining law, but as a result of the withdrawal, which came about as a consequence of the FLIP authorization for withdrawal. And withdrawal provisions are in place to protect public values. And because the withdrawal was issued.
But that, because of it, it was still the same thing it would always have been. I mean, it was not based on any values other than those within the mining law.
Correct. And the fact that the test.
That's huge, Jerry. That's our issues.
Because the test that's used for FLIP withdrawal. As to whether or not there's valid existing rights is the same test that's used under the mining law to determine whether there's a discovery of a valuable mineral deposit. But the action here is valid existing rights determination to exempt the mine from the withdrawal. So it was taken pursuant to FLIPMA, the Federal Land Policy and Management Act, not was it an action taken by the Forest Service under the mining law. And so in that sense, our interests. Fact again, that's agreed, Your Honor. And even if the mining law provided the relevant statutory basis for the Forest Service Act, we are still protected by the requirement that a mining company to develop claims has to show a discovery of a valuable mineral deposit. And that limitation benefits our client's interest in conserving the land around the Grand Canyon because it's not as though everyone can establish a claim and begin mining, but instead they have to establish a claim and then demonstrate that there's a discovery of a valuable mineral deposit. And this requirement or limitation.
Is it the case that there's been no challenge to the mine review?
I'm sorry?
Is it the case that there has been no challenge to the mine review?
Oh, absolutely not. We definitely challenge. Oh, I'm sorry. I get it mixed up. No, the validity determination is the only action that we challenge. And that's the action that was taken pursuant to the withdrawal. And that's, again, why I think that FLIPMA provides the standard for evaluating zone of interest.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We'll be hearing some more about the withdrawal in the next hour.